Sometimes God will open the window of your heart and you'll go, where did that come from? Am I the only one that's ever happened to? And you have to pray and say, God, where did that come from? All of a sudden something happens and great fear comes on your life in certain situations, and that fear is there, and all of a sudden it reveals that your heart, at times, there's times where you don't trust God. And you have to go to the Word of God, and you have to find the perfect plumb line of the Word of God where it says, perfect love casts out all fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but love, joy, and sound mind. It's the plumb line of the Word of God. And when we become insecure, reactions are the windows of our heart. The greatest ways to guard your heart is to let God realign His plumb line to your hearts. Right there. He wants to plumb line you so that your heart is not deceived. So that your heart... I thank Don Weedman for allowing me to use his plumb line tonight. Number two, not only does God use realigning to God's plumb line, but number two is responding to obedience. Responding to obedience. Respond to what God is showing us in obedience. Now, do you have the habit of obedience in your life? And what I mean is, in referencing Scripture, obedience to the Lord. Look, do you go through your day with a consciousness of God? Where what you do and the purpose of your day, the throughout your day, there is a consciousness of God. So God can speak to you at any time during the day, and you can, you know, be obedient to what God would say in a moment's time? Are you listening to God if He would put His finger on your life? Is there an awareness of Him? Do you have an obedience meter in your life? If you begin to start to do something, all of a sudden God's obedient meter begins to tick in your head, and all of a sudden God begins to reveal to you and show you that maybe His plumb line says that's not the right thing to do. Do you respond in obedience? Obedience meter has to be high. We have to, it says, above all, we need to guard our hearts. And the way that we respond in guarding our hearts, not only do we use God's plumb line, but we have to respond in obedience when God deals with us. Jesus said, if you love me, you obey me. Is that you on Tuesday at 4:00 in the afternoon on a regular week? Can the Lord speak to you and you be obedient? I was thinking today when I first moved here, we had just been here a short time. There was a local pastor that called me and said, hey, I want to welcome you to the area. Would you like to go to lunch? I said, I'd love to go to lunch. I never turn down a lunch. So we go to lunch and we're sitting there at lunch and I'm just enjoying lunch. He said, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah, we got to talking. He said, you know, the denomination that I am is a denomination that loves the Word of God. And he said, you know, I got people in my church that can get up and highlight Hebrews and Romans. They know it inside and out. He said, but you know, there's times when I have to battle, even though as knowledgeable of the Word of the people that I have in my church, he says, at times I have to struggle because there are not many people who are being transformed. They know the Bible, and we put a big emphasis on the Word. How many know that's good, have a good big emphasis on the Word of God? Because the Word is truth, is that not right? And then I thought to myself, I didn't say to him, but I thought to myself, I thought, well, the devil knows the Bible and he's not transformed. Right? I mean, the Scripture says the devil knows the Word. He trembles, but he's not transformed. Yeah, come on. So what does that tell me? It tells me transformation doesn't come by knowledge. Yeah, transformation has to come another way. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 and 26. Let me read this to you. This is a scripture the Lord gave me. And I've read this many times as well as you have. But it's a passage of scripture that I've preached and you've heard preach. And we quote it often on. And verse 24 says, "Therefore, whoever hears this sayings of mine and does them," that's obedience, right? In other words, "Therefore, he that hears these sayings of mine and does them, I liken him to a wise man who has built his house on a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, the winds blew, and beat on his house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock," right? What did it say there? It said, and it says, and he what? He did what was said. Right? He said, "He that hears my words," hears what I say, "hears the sayings of mine and does them." And then it goes on to say this. Look what it says in verse 26. "But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not," that's disobedience, "do them, will be like a foolish man who builds his house upon the sand. And when the storms and the winds come, it will not stand." What is the difference in the two? It's not the rock and the sand. It's not the difference. The difference is one does and one doesn't. Yeah. Amen. It's one thing to hear this word every Sunday preach. It's one thing to be educated by it, which is good. All those things are good. But if you hear it, and never do it, you're like a man that's on sandy ground when the storms come. You say, "Well, I go to church, but I still go through the storm. I can't get ahead in life." You know why? Because you got to start doing it, not just hearing it. Okay. I'm teaching. The difference is not in what you know, it's in what you know. You know what I'm saying? It's not what you know, it's what you know. It's what I know about God. It's His plumb line. What I know is I know His Word says, "I can be free, then I can be free. I didn't get it here, I got it here. His Word says that I'm a child of God. I didn't get it here, I got it here." Huh? The Word says, it tells us, it's His plumb line. He lines it up next to us. And what happens is, when He lines that Word up and He reveals the Word to us, the Word comes to us and we know it. But if we don't obey it, it ain't going to work. While I'm in church, I go to church, I hear it all the time, I sit and read it. But if you don't do it, I don't know. But let me give you this example. This will help you. We need to cut this in a second. Edit it. I don't know. It doesn't. Never mind. Just let it go. Y'all listen, live stream, y'all listen to this. I don't want to offend you, but okay. We have in our country a Bible study culture. Let me tell you, this is what churches are coming. They're Bible study cultures. They're Bible study from the pulpit. All right? Okay, that's not bad. The Word of God needs to be learned, right? All right? It's a Bible study culture. It is a Bible study culture. And what happens is we come in and they open the Word of God for an hour and they talk about it. Right? They read it. But nobody asks you what you're going to do about it. Right? They say, "Well, God loves the whole world." Okay, what are you going to do about it? The Bible says that He calls upon the name of the Lord, he can be saved. That's the knowledge. Okay, you can get that knowledge. But what? Nobody demands, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about scriptures that talk about purity? What are you going to do about scriptures that talk about hope? What are you going to do about scriptures that talk about going into the world, not being of the world? What are you going to do about scriptures that command obedience from our lives? We can learn it, but what are we going to do about it is what matters. I want to share this with you. I'm a little reluctant to do it, because I don't do it much, but I'm going to anyway. Those of you by live stream, you'll have to forgive me to get to heaven anyway. I saw this week, we had an interesting Bible study on Monday night with our 18 to 35 year olds. It was a great Bible study. And there was the course of the Bible study was about the fear of the Lord, the healthy fear of the Lord. And the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? And it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, you can turn there because this is good. You're going to like this. This taught me something. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Once you get there, go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Yeah, that's where we're supposed to be. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, this Sunday, please take this in the spirit of which I'm giving you. All right? Somebody had posted on Facebook and boastfully posted on Facebook that at church on Easter Sunday at a local church, not in this area but in the region, they're in the region, Cincinnati, in the region, that large church, they had communion. And they had communion and they used champagne and they used these decorated cakes for communion. And they popped the champagne at the front of the church to celebrate the resurrection. They were popping champagne. And they were taking bottles of champagne and pouring into the glasses of the congregants in church and passing out these cakes that were made by a baker. And for a reason, they were real expensive cakes. And they were having champagne and cakes to celebrate Easter. And they were boasting about the fact that they're celebrating Easter and that, you know, they're drinking to the resurrection. And boasting about that. And I got to thinking about that. And the scripture that we were talking about on Monday night came to my mind. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And beginning in verse. Let's just start in verse 10. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." How many know that's true? Amen. "That each one may receive the things done in the body according to that which has been done, whether good or bad." So how many know we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ? There's going to be a judgment one day for our acts. Verse 11, "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Some translations say the fear of the Lord. Knowing the fear of the Lord. Now it's not a fear, at which a fear that makes you tremble, but it's a fear of reverence. It's a fear of respect. It's a fear of not wanting to hurt or not wanting to disappoint. It says, "We persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your conscience." So here's what it says. We have a reverence or a fear of God so that we may be able to speak to the conscience of men. In other words, that we can be conscious of God, conscious of His purity, conscious of who He is, pure, holy-wise. How many know it's good to have a healthy conscience to know the purity of God, the holiness of God, what is holy and what is pure? Okay? And so, verse 12 says, "For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in what? Heart." Who boast in appearance, not in heart. Now, here's the thing. Trying to be relevant, they become fools. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? trying to be relevant to the culture, they become foolish to the purity of the things of God. It's not about being religious that we respect reverent things of God. It's out of a healthy fear of that which is pure and holy. The reason why we keep the communion emblems holy and reverent, not because we are pious or religious, but it's because we are not boasting in appearances to elevate ourselves as though we have a revelation that no one else has. So the reason why some churches do these things and gives these appearances and give these is so that they can boast in saying we have a revelation about something that no one else has. When the truth is, God just wants us to have a healthy fear of the Lord and to keep some things holy and some things pure so that we don't boast in the appearance, but it's not the appearance that impresses God, but it's what? It's the heart by which we do it. Whether it's grape juice or apple juice or a little wafer or a little cracker, it's not the appearance of what we do that impresses God. What impresses God is that we're obedient to do it, that our hearts are pure when we do it, that our hearts are right, that our hearts come along the plumb line of God's Word. We don't do it to be religious. We do it because we know God can deal with the hearts of man through His Word. So we keep things that are holy, holy, because we know it's the avenue by which God deals with the heart of men. You hear what I'm saying? We don't have basketball goals in the church and play basketball during service, not because we can't, we could. It might get a few more people to church. I don't know. Might get my son here more. Bless his heart, that's what I say. Right? We might get a few more people. But what happens is people get addicted to the appearance and forget about what's important to the hearts. And so we do things not for appearance, but we do it because of the heart. We're trying to reach a generation's heart. I'm not trying to appease them through their eyes or their senses or to make them feel good or make them feel comfortable. God wants to lay a plumb line next to their heart and say, this is what's pure and this is what's holy and this is where your heart is. And you've got to respond appropriately for God to work. We got to lay a plumb line. You got to lay a plumb line. And it's not about being religious. Look, I have more fun in church than anybody. I think. I'm going to close with this. Adam, come. Realigning with God's plumb line. Responding to obedience. That's guarding our heart. When we realign our lives, when God, He'll use those things to reveal our heart, and then He lays His plumb line, and then it reveals where our heart is, and it gives us opportunity to grow spiritually when we respond correctly. Instead of getting mad about the preacher teaching on tithing, you ought to get glad about the preacher preaching on tithing. Amen. And start laying the plumb line. You say, he's talking about money. Look, instead of getting offended that I talk about not having sex before marriage or not living together before marriage or not partying and being drunk and being a drunkard, still being on the church board, hanging out in bars, going to clubs, right? God's laying a plumb line. But you don't have to be obedient. What it's going to do is keep you from growing. But God's still going to keep laying the plumb line, and you'll never grow spiritually until you begin to respond obediently. And the happen is, because if you don't respond obediently, there's never transformation. I'm going to say it like this. All right, I need your picture, okay? I'm closing with this. All right, I'm a teacher, and I got a board in front of me. I'm going to draw y'all something. Y'all ready? All right. I'm going to draw a big circle right here. And in that circle is transformation. That's God's job. Say God's job. Say transformation's God's job. Okay, and it works like this. Here's how transformation works. God will take an apple seed and make it an apple. He'll take an apple and make an apple tree. He'll take an apple tree and make an apple orchard. He'll take an apple orchard and make thousands of apple orchards. Did you have anything to do with that? No, God did. It's His transformation. God does the transformation. All right, come over here on the beginning, okay? I'm going to draw another circle. Y'all see that? Now, this circle is revelation. Okay? Now, the difference between revelation and fact. There's a difference between revelation and fact. Revelation, just like transformation, is also God's job. Say, God's job. So if I read the book of Esther, and I read through the book of Esther, and I say to Samantha, I say, man, that was an awesome book. Did you know God's name was never mentioned in the book of Esther? That's a fact, right? That's a fact. That's not revelation. There's a difference between fact and revelation. The word means to pull the curtain and to reveal. To reveal a truth. So revelation is we stand in our lives and we get a revelation of something. And God pulls the curtain back to a truth we've not seen before. And we go, wow, God, I never saw that before. Who do men say that I am, Peter? Well, some say you're Elijah, some say He said, but who do you say I am? He says, you are the Son of God. He said, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. It was revelation. That was not a fact. It was revelation. Only God. What did God do? He peeled the curtain back. And what did he do? Peter saw the revelation. Now, Peter's got the revelation. That's God's job. And over here, on this side, is Peter's life. Which is transformation. How many know that when he got the revelation, he wasn't transformed yet? That's God's job also too, right? So if revelation is God's job and transformation is God's job, in the middle, y'all got the drawing? Y'all good? I made y'all dizzy? Okay, ready? Here's the third one. And the first one, we have revelation. God revealing, pulling back the curtain. We're seeing. It's being revealed by. Over here is transformation. That's God's job. He takes a seed, makes a tree. A tree becomes many, many more trees. Orchard. Boom. Transformation. Boom. Never like they were before. But in the middle is obedience. 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 Now, that's God's job. That's God's job. Obedience is your job. Because you'll never get from revelation to transformation in first until you're obedient in between. You can read the Word of God all you want. God can unveil and reveal. You can see, you can see, you can see week after week after week. But if you're not obedient, you'll never enjoy the transformation that comes with knowing by obedience. Now, here's the thing about obedience. Obedience isn't, I tried. Obedience isn't, I'll get to it later if God will transform me now. With obedience, there is no negotiation. When God commands something in our life and He puts the plumb line down and He begins to say, listen, here's the realigning that has to take place in your life. If you will see it and let God reveal it to you, if you'll be obedient without negotiation or compromise, then you will live in the land of transformation. God will transform you from something you were to something He wants you to be. And what happens is when transformation continues in your life, there's such a growth in your life. You become so spiritually strong. Obedience becomes second nature in your life. You don't question the Word of God. There are some things in the Word that I don't have to be tempted by because the devil knows that I'm past that. He's wore that out. He don't have to tempt me with that. Because why? Because I live in the land of transformation. I'm not what I used to be. Hallelujah. Woo. Stand with me. So the way we guard our hearts is we allow God to lay a plumb line and we respond to obedience. Would you believe I didn't get finished? But how many people are right here? How many people? This is you. I will, God, when I get a better job. If you bring me the right girl, I'll remain pure. If you do this, God, then I'll obey you. And you're negotiating with God. You're trying to get God. You're giving God the plumb line. God said, no, 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 no. He said, baby, this is the plumb line. There it is. Walk straight. As you walk straight, there'll be transformation in your life. As you walk further, there'll be revelation in your life. And then there'll be more transformation in your life. And more revelation. And more transformation. And you go from obedience to revelation. Revelation to obedience. The transformation. Back to revelation. To obedience. The transformation. Amen. The revelation. Obedience. Transformation. And before long, you've bunny hopped all the way to the will of God for your life. Yeah. Bunny hopped. Right? But some of you way back here, God's still trying to get you to pray. You've been saved 30 years. Jesus, help us. And you know what? We can do all kinds of appearances. I can pop bubbly champagne on Sunday morning, pour it in glasses. We can lift it up, eat bonbons and cupcakes and celebrate, dance around and all spiritual songs. And everybody go, woo, them people are progressive. Woo, they got it together. Woo, they're hip. Yeah, they got appearance, but they don't have revelation. They got appearance, but they don't have transformation. And what needs to happen in the church, some things have got to start transforming. There's got to be some transformation in people's lives, or we're losing a generation. It's time to let the Word of God. We can't do God's job. We can't bring revelation to people's life. We don't clean them. He cleans them. We catch them. He cleans them. Huh? But we're responsible to laying the plumb line down so that they know what obedience is. It's an injustice for a church not to preach the whole counsel of God when you leave things out. You leave things out of the Word of God, you're not preaching the whole counsel. And what are you doing? You're keeping people from transformation because they can't be obedient because you won't preach certain things because you don't want people mad and upset. Let them run, baby! Let them run! I'd rather have people transform than people impressed. I'm done. Hallelujah. Lift your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we just pray for revelation, 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 revelation. Thank you, Lord, for revelation. I'm glad, Lord, that you've revealed things to me now that I didn't know 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago. I'm thankful, God, there's things I didn't know 25 years ago. But Lord, when I was obedient, you moved me into transformation. I became a better Christian. I became a better husband. I became a better father because I understood transformation. I became a giver. I became obedient to the Word of God, and transformation came into my life. I don't live by just seed now. I live out of the blessing of multiplicity that you built in my life because of obedience. Reveal more, reveal more, reveal more. And I pray everyone that's here tonight, God, may that process of transformation lay the plumb line down next to their heart. Let the relational things reveal to them who they are. Let the cultural things reveal who they are. Let circumstances reveal their heart and to know where they stand today and where their heart is today so that, God, that you can bring transformation to who they are. Sometimes, God, I don't like my heart, what you reveal. Sometimes I know my heart is desperately deceitful. And I know, God, that my heart at times wants to fool me. But when you lay that plumb line down, it reveals where I am, God. Thank God I can get right. Thank God I can make it right. Hallelujah. Now let your blessing be on your people. Let transformation be on this church. We're not about appearances, but we are about the heart. We're about the heart. We're about the heart. We're our men's hearts. God, I care about where men's hearts are tonight. I don't care what impresses them. I care about what moves them. What's in their heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. May obedience come into my heart tonight. May I respond to your plumb line with obedience. We pray tonight that you're covering upon this church, that God, we will preach the whole counsel of God, not just part of it, but all of it. Lord, we believe it from beginning, from Genesis to the maps. We believe it all the way through, every word, every jot, every tittle. We don't take things out. We believe in the Holy Ghost, a full expression of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe that God's revealing Himself in tongues and the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe in healings and miracles and transformations. We believe, God, in the supernatural. We are naturally supernatural. We are naturally supernatural. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Touch our hearts tonight. Now put your hands on your heart. Let's pray. Father, our heart, we know, God, we know that out of the heart comes the issues of life. Speak to my heart, not just to my head tonight. The Lord, just as Hardy Weather said, when the Holy Spirit touches both the head and the heart, a man is standing on firm foundation, and he's not easily deceived. So, Lord, touch my head and touch my heart. Touch my understanding. Touch the source of where issues of life come. And, Lord, help me to walk purely before you, God. God, touch my heart tonight that the issues of my life will line up with your word. Touch everyone's heart. Heal the wounds in people's hearts tonight. People who are offended are being healed tonight. People who are wounded are being healed tonight. People who hurt are being healed. We will not let bitterness settle in our heart. We will not let discontentment settle in our heart. I will not let disappointment settle in my heart. I will not let offense set in my heart. I will not be offended. I choose not to carry offense in my life. I choose to be healed. I choose to be whole. I will not be wounded. I will not let what others did to me affect my life. I will not let those who hurt me and those who disappointed me and those who took shots at me to ruin my life, to change my life. For my heart is established by the Word of God. It is full of God and it's in obedience to God. I have revelation and I have transformation because of my heart. Thank you, Jesus. And touch our hearts relationally. Touch the challenging issues of our hearts. Touch the circumstantial issues of our heart. And let us be pure and whole. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Would you give God a great big clap offering tonight? Hallelujah. Come on, give Him some praise. Hallelujah. Have me glad. Woo! There it is, y'all. I once was this. You know, iniquity means to be bent, but now I'm this. There it is, Ray. Does it measure up? There it is, right in line with your heart. Look at that. That's the plumb line. There it is, Freddie. Woohoo! There it is. Don't y'all forget that. I want y'all to dream about the plumb line. The plumb line. Thank you, Jesus. Would y'all hug about 200 people's necks and tell them